and this is Coast Community Radio. KMUN Astoria, 91.9, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Boudelaire's Point, hope all's going well, and the snow is gone. Out here, it is sunshine, 51 degrees, beautiful, calm day, and it's not even raining. However, there was a landslide last night, and we're very glad our friend Dan from Columbia Riverkeeper actually finally, after 5 hours, made it home. So, nature, she's here. It's up to us to take care of her and also to try to take care of each other. Speaking of which, yesterday was a special day. It was a day without immigrants. Protests were held all across the United States. I just happened to notice this that I thought would be interesting to our arts audience. Tsugumi Joyner, associate director of the Davis Museum at Wellesley College, walks past the shroud-covered painting, Friends in a Storm Approaching, left by Scottish-born artist James McDougall Hart. That was Wellesley, Massachusetts, to protest the recent travel ban. Artworks by immigrants or artworks given to the museum by immigrants were covered or deinstalled through Tuesday to call attention to the contributions that immigrants have made to culture. Bravo. We sure have them all over this town. There are some fabulous exhibits going on, and each of them, I just stopped in at the Lightbox Photographic Gallery. Do not miss the photographic nude show that is there. This is on Marine Drive between 11th and 10th, two doors down from Gala, and the exhibit is rich. I think Michael said 65 pieces by 55 artists. It's extraordinary. And it's linked in terms of timing with the Au Naturel Nude in the 21st Century that is up at the Royal Nebucher Gallery at Clatsop College, also not to be missed. And as I say, each one of those shows has at least one piece that came from overseas, from artists from other countries, and from many people who have contributed to the arts. We can all name, I'm sure, a lot of them. And then we have our local artists, most appreciated. And we just lost one of our beloved and respected and appreciated and feared, perhaps, by some folks. And one of our local artists, Margaret Teary, died last weekend, and I wanted to send out a piece of music. Margaret was the Astoria Fiber Arts person. You see her works in many places. She did some gorgeous stuff, and she was never afraid to speak her mind. Margaret Teary, presente.
Distance from my faraway love, and I'll voice the tune as it should be. Fall in the mountains, a night for a sweater, burgundy wool, and a shared glass of wine. The full moon was smiling as we danced through the forest of cedar, hemlock, and pine.
That's a Tom May original. And that's for Margaret, the weaver, and the loom. And for all the people who were weaving together. The community, the arts, the spirit, the ability for us to continue on and make this life full, rich, and honest. Honest to ourselves and to each other. Well, I have someone here in the studio who is involved in, I would say, an ancient art form.
Indeed.
And it certainly speaks to the spirit and the soul. And that is Kristen Alsop, who has been doing the yoga, Cannon Beach Yoga Festival for
7 years.
7 years. And mashallah, isn't that? Did you realize what you were doing?
But of course not. Carol, thank you so much for having me today.
Appreciate it.
And every year for,
well,
7 years.
I think it's marvelous. It's amazing how some of these festivals mm-hmm. begin as a kernel and a hope and a gathering of people and then just keep growing.
Yes.
And that seems to be what you've done.
Just a spark and an idea, and then the next thing you know, you wake up and it's 7 years later. And you're like, oh, wow.
With a lot of work in between,
of course.
We must say. So this is happening next weekend.
Correct.
That's the 24th through the 27th. And so that would be Friday through Monday.
Exactly. Yep. Oh. We're wrapping the weekend. We have both a Friday and Monday events as well as the full weekend event.
Is it a 3-day weekend?
It's not a 3-day weekend. It's just happens to be a 4-day event. It's grown that way. So mm-hmm. it's been really nice.
Terrific. So this is the 7th annual. I just jotted down yoga, meditation, figure drawing, and of course, Bollywood dance. We can't forget that. I'm not sure how it all fits together, but I'm going to let you tell us. How does this work?
Thank you. Well, first of all, it works with an incredibly generous donation from the city of Cannon Beach through their tourism and arts program commission. And they have selected and given Friends of Haystack Rock a wonderful grant, and I'm producing the event for them.
Oh, okay.
And so it's been a really wonderful way to actually get the level of teachers that we're allowed to have mm-hmm. here. It's very expensive to bring people from all over the country, and we're such a small place. So we have a very huge subsidy, and I'm so grateful to have that with this from the city of Cannon Beach to be able to make this happen.
And is that from the hotel?
From the tourism. Tax that they get. So they put that toward both supporting the arts and bringing in more people.
Yeah,
so,
I think that's part of it. Yours is the festival, or one of them, that brings people from all over, not just the teachers, but the students as well.
Correct.
So where are folks coming from?
It really is a huge range. I mean, most of the people are coming from the Portland metropolitan area and the sort of Seattle metropolitan area. Mm-hmm. So we're pretty much northwest. Mm-hmm. But we have people coming from Massachusetts and Texas and Arizona and, just really all over. Mm-hmm. A couple of our teachers are coming from New York. We have a teacher from Vancouver, BC, teacher from Washington.
When you started was it that far flung?
Not probably the first year as far as our attendees. Our teachers were all from all over the country. But I think it's taken a little while, you know, some grassroots marketing to get the information out about mm-hmm. what it is that we're doing.
And build a reputation.
And building a reputation, yeah. Exactly. And
although when people look on the map and see where Cannon Beach is, I bet some of them go, obviously the Portland and Seattle folks know, but the others go, oh, I think I wouldn't mind going out there.
Absolutely. Being Cannon Beach is actually a really nice yeah. calling card to get people to come. And one of the things that's been really nice about the Yoga Festival specifically is it's a great way to introduce a whole new demographic to our town. So we actually do see a lot of first-time visitors who've never been here for any other reason. And then they get to fall in love with the coast the way that we love the coast.
Right.
And hopefully put it in their list of places to visit more often. And
so who can come to this festival? Are there different levels? How does it work?
It's for everyone. Let me just start there.
And ages.
And all ages. We have things for kids. We have a kids yoga class. It's a free class on Sunday that people can sign up and come to. And then in really just everything. There are a few classes on the schedule that are specifically for particular levels, and those descriptions will say. One of our really wonderful yoga teachers who's come every year, Julie Gudmestad, she's teaching an alignment-based class that's very focused on anatomy and the shoulder, neck, and upper back. And so it's for people who actually really know a lot about their own practice or could potentially be teachers or physical therapists or massage therapists or, you know, lots of people like that could also come and take this class and learn the mechanics of how to work with different problems.
So she would be teaching people how to teach as well as the actual
information. Yeah, she's known as a teacher of teachers.
Right.
But I still think that, I mean, my philosophy for teaching or learning anything is get yourself in front of the very best teacher you possibly can. And then once you do that, then at whatever level you are at, wherever you are in the learning process, something is going to resonate with you, and it's bound to be pretty profound because the teaching is in and of itself its own gift and its own skill.
Absolutely.
Its own skill. And so that's why I think it's really important to have a very high level of scholarship for people who are attending as teachers. So the faculty is all personally invited by me. I've studied with them for probably years. I think that they are some of the best in whatever it is that their specialty is.
Give us some name for those people out there who say, well, I know a lot about yoga. Is it this kind of yoga or that kind of yoga? Can you drop some names without?
Sure, absolutely.
Most of us won't know what you're talking about, but just.
So it's really a mix. We have a variety of things. Two of the teachers have a background in what would be best known as Iyengar yoga. Iyengar yoga. It's an alignment-based yoga. Mr. BKS Iyengar actually developed this, and it really has provided a lot of the safety cues that we use even in, I teach a vinyasa practice, so or a class or a flow class. So I still use a lot of that same information in order to keep people safe. So we've got things from very, very structured alignment-based classes to something that could be a little bit more about, a little more esoteric. We've got some tantra and some energetic moving of energies with breathing techniques. So that would be like Kriya yoga. So there are different tools and techniques that you would use in order to make that happen.
Okay.
So really a wide gamut from something very specifically physical to something that's far more subtle.
And for the children, I'm presuming it's a little less subtle.
It is. It is. As a matter of fact, it's called imagination yoga. So they'll be going on a little journey, a little guided tour of imagining all kinds of things.
So beginners are welcome.
Beginners are welcome.
Yeah, even to adult beginners.
Absolutely. Adult beginners.
Okay. Now, what about this figure drawing? Who's doing that?
Oh, let me see. So my brother, David, who's a wonderful painter.
This is the Alsop family you're talking about.
My brother David Kinnon is a great painter, and he also sort of developed this program for me to have a whole arts component for the festival. And so both days, there's an optional workshop where it's basically his spin on a life drawing class.
Mm-hmm.
We have a wonderful model who's going to be doing yoga poses. And then David will lead people through different drawings, and you know, just so it's also all levels. You can come and not know how to do anything, or you can come and just, you know, get your charcoal, get your pad, mm-hmm. and just go to town with this beautiful experience in our beautiful chamber hall.
Now, so, where does David live?
David lives in Cannon Beach.
He does. Yep. Okay, good.
Yeah,
because you also have the other part of the family in New York.
I do. And I have my sister Lauren Kinnon is in New York, and she's a singer, a jazz singer. And my sister Kate, who's the opera singer, they actually just moved from Austin to Arizona. So they're in Scottsdale. Her husband Joe just took over the Arizona Opera, which is both Phoenix and Tucson. So, yeah.
Yowza.
Singing and dance and
what a family, huh?
Music.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Actually, I am tired. I have to go home right now.
Well,
but it's wonderful and really.
And
you know,
the nice thing for us is that you, I know that your sister Lauren comes to Cannon Beach and does a concert.
She does.
And how about the opera? Has that ever happened?
Yes, she has actually.
Okay.
Yep, they've come and they've been at the Coaster Theater.
Okay,
yep,
good, because my next guest is opera. So we'll be
awesome.
Moving into that.
Awesome.
Now, the other part that delights me is the Bollywood dance. How is that?
It's so much fun. A couple of years ago, I met this wonderful man named Prashant Kakad, and he runs these Bollywood dance parties really all over the world now. And so he's coming to teach not only a dance class for us on Saturday afternoon. You can come and take a 1.5-hour class, and then you can come and attend our dance party, which is in the evening. And he leads the music is great, and he teaches us all the numbers and what to do, and then he's got dancers coming to join
in,
and it's all levels, of course, nobody has to do it, and kids are free, so bring the kids, dress the girls up and the boys up and bring them on down, because the boys really dance in India, so it's serious.
And it is energetic.
It is so energetic. You prepare to sweat.
And the music is great, so wonderful. Okay, now this is all happening this is next weekend. What should people do? Is there a website they can go to?
CannonBeachYogaFestival.com.
Okay.
I would suggest that you click the schedule button. That be the first your first visit and take a look at everything that there is to offer. And then once you fall in love with something, hit the register button and it'll take you right into the registration. You can sign up for everything you want.
And if people have questions, is there a way for them to interact there?
Yep. Or? You can. My email is there, Kristen, CHRISTEN at CannonBeachYogaArts.com, or my phone number is also there, 503-440-1649. You can see all of that. Give me a call, an email. Happy
Great.
To help you out. Love to see you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, when Kristen appeared, I looked at her and she said, Kristen, I went, oh my gosh, I don't recognize you because you get younger every year. So I think that must be the yoga. So
Thank
folks,
you, Carol.
Check this out, Cannon Beach Yoga Festival. fullword.com, and then and you can do one class or one dance or you can do the whole thing, so you can check it out. Okay, thank you so much
thank
for coming
you for
in,
having
Kristen.
Me, Carol.
Have
I
a wonderful
it.
Festival.
Thank you so
okay.
much.
Okay. And we do have some music playing in the background from a group that was here in the first year, which was 2011, Shantala. Have a listen and stay tuned. This is Coast Community Radio. Arts, live and local.
I'm not afraid to die.
Oh, yes. Are you all ready for the meditation and the yoga? Good. But it's not until next weekend. So don't get too comfortable in that, because we have a whole nother art form here to share with you. As a matter of fact, we've got two. Berenice Jones is here wearing two hats, although, let's see. Well, unlike Laurie Johnson, she's not actually wearing a hat. We'll have to do something about that for next time. But she is here wearing two hats because tomorrow is a very big day in Astoria. And I'm going to start, I think, with tomorrow evening, because I was just talking to Kristen. And when she mentioned opera, I said, oh, my next guest is is bringing an opera here tomorrow night. So, Berenice, tell us, you have you wear hats, and you have, in not even just in Astoria, tell us about the Cascadia Concert Opera.
Sure.
Okay.
So my hat with Cascadia Concert Opera, I'm the artistic director, and that little group was formed in 2009.
Oh.
It's basically, it happened as a result of myself and another opera singer working with Eugene Opera, and we looked around the room in this rehearsal that we were in and noticed how many incredibly talented local artists were sitting there working with Eugene Opera. And we realized that there was an importance to have us continue to work throughout the season. And we wanted to keep us engaged. We wanted to make sure that local artists were having opportunities to perform more often, and that there was also access for local artists or local audience, excuse me. And what that means for us is we would take the little touring company and run around wherever we could find places. We focus primarily on the I-5 corridor. So, and the artists come from as far away north as Seattle, and we've had folks all the way down from Weed join us. And
Weed?
Mm-hmm. Weed, California, yep.
Oh, California.
Yep. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay, so back me up a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Were all these people in Eugene already, or how did... Yeah, they were studying in Eugene, or what?
Actually, these are performing artists. We were primarily secondary casts. So with Eugene Opera, there are artists that are brought in from New York and that kind of thing. They're taking a little hiatus right now, but they certainly will convene at some point. But the artists will come from all over, and they would also hire us as secondary artists or as supporting cast members, and also in principal roles. And so we would be working together, and we just kept noticing how many of us were constantly showing up within a two or three production season. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to add to that and to make sure that local folks would also have an opportunity to see additional opera. We would always do productions in English for Cascadia. So specifically, the first year we did Janiskiki, which is a famous Puccini opera, and it's a short one. And that was kind of a part of our mantra, keep it short, keep it sweet.
Accessible.
Mm-hmm. And so then we kind of broadened. And in 2011, we did Fledermaus, which was a pretty big deal for us. But we did it in English. Then the next year, we added orchestra to our little production and still touring. And then finally, in 2012, we did two productions because we began to notice how, in addition to folks starting to call us to go to their senior citizen facility or at a performance hall, they also were noticing, and we noticed, that we were engaging young artists as well as advanced artists.
Okay.
So we created two different productions. We did a production of Menotti's opera called The Old Maid and the Thief at the same time that we were running the production Fidelio. Which that was our first year, actually, that we came up here to Astoria. We did Fidelio.
When was that? Do you
know? That was in 2014. Yeah,
okay.
2014.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're not 12 months of the year, though.
Nope. We usually stick to summer because, again, we want our artists to continually be engaged. Mm-hmm. So we try to stay outside of the regular season. So folks who would work with Portland Opera, for instance, can continue to work with Portland.
This is fabulous.
Kind of so we try to, you know, we're pretty altruistic, actually, if you think about it, because we're trying to make sure that we're doing everything for everybody.
Yeah.
And tomorrow, which is another part of what's really important to us, is engaging with other artists. So tomorrow, we're working with North Coast Chorale.
Hello.
Very, very, very very dear friends of ours. Mm-hmm. We worked with them for the first time when we did Fidelio. And what was really exciting about the North Coast Chorale joining us is that they hopped on buses and cars and that kind of thing and joined us down in Eugene to do our production, our performance down there. And this past year, we did a couple of runouts with each other just doing stuff. And then tomorrow night's performance will be the fundraiser to help us do stuff for the coming season. And we're singing together.
And this is happening at the Performance Arts Center on 16th and Franklin. And it is at 7 o'clock, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And tickets are at the door. Cash and check only, and it will be a fabulous performance. Now, what is Cascadia? Now, you know, every time I see you, I learn something new about you. You're wearing more hats than I even knew because, to be honest, I didn't even realize that you were a singer. I always see you running around and managing things and taking care of people and doing this in Astoria. I haven't seen, so this is exciting. My guest, Barinas Jones, she has a second last name too, Centano.
Centano.
Centano,
huh?
Mm-hmm. And that's connected to Vincent.
Correct.
Who, now, does he play for the Cascadia as well or no?
He actually is our conductor and music director.
Great.
So he conducts and certainly he does play piano. It's usually one of those, honey, I can't find another pianist for this gig that we have to do next week. Will you play?
Right. But the fabulous news for us here in Astoria is that we lured these two people and actually, I believe in one of the last performances, Vincent played for the Astor Street Opry Company.
Yes, he
does. And I've got guests out there. They're coming in to talk about their next performance.
Yay!
So this is a very organic show. We're running one to the next. So what are you going to be performing tomorrow night?
So tomorrow night, we will, basically the whole concert is a bunch of operas. We'll do stuff that you will recognize right away from Verdi. We'll do things, in fact, pretty much everything is recognizable. We have Verdi, we have Puccini, we have Mozart, we have some Strauss, the younger.
And it's all in English.
Some of it's in English. Most of it is in English, but we certainly are doing some for those who are enthusiasts who absolutely need to hear it in the original language.
Right.
We certainly have some of that as well. There's some French and some Italian on the program as well. And there will be moments where the chorale is singing by themselves.
Right. The North Coast Chorale is going to be performing some of the opera pieces as well.
They're doing famous opera choruses with us. And then there will also be moments where Cascadia and the chorale are working together, singing stuff together. So it'll
be
a fun concert.
Fantastic concert. This is tomorrow, Saturday, February 18th, again at the Performing Arts Center. That's 16th and Franklin in Astoria. There's plenty of room, so do come and join us. And this is, it just warms my heart because Marinas and Vincent are bringing this amazing stuff to Astoria. And by joining with the North Coast Chorale, it kind of cements things, you know.
It's absolutely.
Like we're it's integrated into the local culture now as well.
So that matters to us.
Wonderful.
And what's really fun, just let me throw one little piece in.
Please.
They are helping us with this process because we have actually, Cascadia has commissioned a new opera, a tango opera, which is another part of us talk about bringing things together.
Yes.
We're actually working with our friends at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center, Celeste and Estelle Olivares, tango dancers, and they're going to be featured in the production that we're doing with the chorale in the fall.
So. And for those of you who have not experienced this, holy cow. And last week at the Liberty during Art Walk, Estelle Olivares and her partner actually performed.
Yeah.
And so, again, more organic weaving in and out. And tango at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center meets on Saturday evening, by the way, in case you want to get out there and try your chops. So this is all, and when is that going to happen, by the way?
That we actually are in the process of doing all of the workshopping to make sure the piece works, and it does so far. We're pretty thrilled. So that'll be in the fall. We'll start publicizing that right around June and July.
Okay. Wow, this is you. I mean, keeping all of these things, it's like there's so many things going in, so much coordination. Speaking of which, as if that's not enough, in the afternoon is yet another treat for people who come to Astoria or who live here at 2 o'clock at the Liberty Theater, which is on 12th and Commercial, and where Berenice happens to be the new artistic director. Thank you and congratulations.
Thank you, Carol.
Is the Confluence Project, which is an extraordinary thing that's coming not just to Astoria, but this is the only one in our actual. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Colin Fogarty, really wonderful journalist, public radio journalist, started this project. And the idea is to give voice to indigenous cultures along the river. The Columbia River. And so what he's done is he's just created these wonderful podcasts, a series of interviews with the indigenous cultures. And that's a whole bunch of them, Yakima, all kinds of culture there.
Umatilla.
And what we're going to get a lucky exposure to tomorrow, he's stopping up here in
I think they're only doing like four different parts of Oregon. And
correct.
We're one of the...
And we're one of them. And we're very lucky that way. Yeah. We're getting to be kind of the place that people like being. Way to go, Astoria. It's kind of nice. So, and he's stopping here tomorrow, and that's from 2 to 4 at the Liberty. And it'll be a nice little cozy chance of getting to hear his interviews.
And will there be... any live folk speaking as well?
Absolutely. That's the whole point. We get to actually enjoy the interview.
Okay. So some of the performers will be here as well.
Correct.
And latching on to that, I do want to mention that tonight at 7 o'clock in Cannon Beach at Tolovana Hall, the Tolovana Arts Colony, is bringing Oregon's Poet Laureate, who is an American Indian from Warm Springs, Elizabeth Woody. And that is 7 o'clock, as I say, tonight. So, So this is all happening tomorrow in Astoria. Now, if you need, just jot it all down. But is there some place anyone can go to get reference? I think the Liberty has a new website, and
absolutely.
The North Coast Chorale has.
Wait, I think we need to make a big deal about the Liberty's new website.
Finally.
That is such a big deal for us.
Yeah.
And it's just libertyastoria.org.
No dashes. Holy cow.
Keeps it easy. libertyastoria.org.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Cascadia Concert Opera. .org.
Okay.
One word. And North Coast Chorale has one as well. Mm-hmm. So these are all available for you to get all the information about tomorrow.
Right. And just keep that in mind. Now, I will mention that the Dark Arts Festival is happening in Astoria, in case you don't live around here or just got here. You may not have known that, but it is happening. But the part at the Fort George is sold out. And they usually sell out fast, and they will. You do need a ticket. When it first started, you didn't, but now you do. But there's other stuff happening, including on Sunday, the Dark Arts is having a bazaar of curiosities, tarot, live music with acousta noir, and that's at Carruthers Restaurant, which is right across the street from the Liberty Theater. That's from 11 to 6 all day. Everybody is welcome, and you can just drop in there. And, I think I'm just trying to get it all out there for you folks because there is so much going on. Okay. Well, Berenice, thank you so much for bringing Cascadia Concert Opera to Astoria, to the North Coast Chorale, Dr. Denise Reed, who is the conductor and director, and all of that happening tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock at the Performing Arts Center, 16th and Franklin, and then and that is a benefit. And then the Confluence Project is 2 p.m. at the Liberty, and that is open to, well, they're both open to everybody, all ages, but the Confluence Project might be fun to bring the whole family to as well.
Great.
Anything else we need to?
I think we've covered it.
Okay, I think we have too, and we'll get you back next time when there's an update happening. So
Terrific. Thank
you so much for coming.
My pleasure.
Berenice Jones Centeno, is that how you pronounce
it? Berenice Jones Centeno.
I'm trying to figure out how to write that phonetically.
That's it.
Just like that, Centeno. Okay,
thanks. Carol. Thank you so much.
Okay. And if you're wondering if that's not enough to be going on around here, I'll just let you know that tonight also, Gala Hipfish from 6 to 8:30 is inviting everybody who wants to be involved in the second annual Astoria Pride Festival, which is happening in June, the 9th to the 11th. How can you be part of it? You're invited to porter and pasta tonight with a complimentary pasta buffet and a no-host cocktail bar and a Cole Porter mini review with Dinah Urell, Dita DeAngelis, Walt Trumbull, and Dragalution star Ginger Vitus. I love it. And there's come and see how you can take part, how you can be a business sponsor, or how you can volunteer to make sure that that continues in our town. Let's have a listen. Terry Robb is going to be in Astoria, not in Astoria, at the Peninsula Arts Center in Long Beach, and that is tomorrow evening at 7. Thanks for being here, folks. Coast Community Radio.
There's a little white moon sitting in the sky. It don't do nothing but shine, shine, shine. If the moon could talk, I wonder what the moon would say. Hey, yes, I wonder, yes, I wonder, yes, I wonder what the moon would say. There's a little brown bottle sitting on the table, all empty, but it's got a nice label. If the bottle could talk, I wonder what the bottle would say. Yes, I wonder, yes, I wonder, yes, I wonder what the bottle would say. You know, I had me a lover and I tried, tried, tried. Finally had to leave her and she cried, cried, cried. If my heart could talk, I wonder what my heart. Yes, I wonder, yes, I wonder, yes, I wonder what my heart would say. Okay.
Yeah, that's Terry Robb. And again, he will be at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center in Long Beach tomorrow evening. Good music, as there is all over this region. And you're going to be hearing from some musicians at the very end of the show. But first, I have some of our good friends from the youth production at the Astor Street Opry Company, and that would be Nick and Lexi Reibold. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. The show, I'm really looking forward to this. The show is Rudyard Kipling's The Jungle Book. I don't think I've ever seen it. I mean, I read it, but were you guys familiar with this?
I never read the book. I've only ever, like, seen the animated Disney movie.
Oh, that's good. That's okay. How about you, Lexi?
I've seen the Disney movies, too, so I was really surprised at the differences, but I really like the show that we put together.
That's, you know, that's interesting. It's good you mentioned that, because a lot of times people read a book, and then they go to a movie, and they say, what? There's no, I mean, they change the ending. Everything's different. So you did it in the other direction, but the book is the original. What are you, neither of you have been on KMUN before.
Nope.
So congratulations. Welcome. Have you done theater before, Lexi?
Yes. I think this is my fourth year.
With Astor Street Opera?
Yeah.
What have you been doing?
I've been in Junior Shanghai twice. I've been in Beatrix Potter, Sleeping Beauty, Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, my goodness.
Scrooged.
Okay. That's quite a listing there. Yeah. I gather you like theater.
Yeah.
Okay. You'll tell me why. Think about it. I want to know. Nick, what's your background?
I've done, like, 3 Astor Street Opera Company plays. I did the Sleeping Beauty. I did Beauty and the Beast, and now The Jungle Book. And I did one other Sleeping Beauty one for Missoula.
Oh, okay. Okay, right. So you also like theater. What's with, and you two are siblings. Do you have other brothers and sisters?
No, not that live with us.
I'm just wondering if this is genetic, that you both like theater, or if it's, who started? I don't even know who's
Lexi
older
did here.
He's older. I started it first. My first play was when I was 8. It was Beatrix Potter.
And what'd you do, come home and say, oh, you won't believe this, is so much fun?
Well, at first he was like, no, I'm never doing that.
I know, he's making a face right now.
And then,
that was great.
And then so we finally decided to try out for one, and he liked it, so.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. What do you like about theater?
I like being in the plays, but it's really about the people that are there. It's like a family. Sometimes family doesn't get along, but for the most part, we work together and get things done.
Well, this is a nice kind of family, because after the, you know, after the rehearsal, you get to leave. So even if you didn't get along so well, you get to. But working together is a really important part. Did that work for you too, Nick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. And who's directing this play?
Heather Ramsdell.
Okay. Now she's not here, so she can't hear us. So what do you think? Is she good? Is she okay?
Yeah, she's really nice.
Okay. I don't know Heather, so it's a serious question. Is she an adult or a young person?
Yes, she is an adult.
she's
not a young person.
She's okay, Heather.
Not old either, but...
You just took care of everything. You're fine. So that's great. Okay, can you tell us just a quickie for those people who may not know, and even though I've read it, I'm not quite sure, how does this work in a play? Are you all animals, or are there humans?
It's a combination. Of course, Mowgli's a human, but then there's some villagers, but for the most part, it's animals.
What are you playing?
I am Baloo the bear.
Oh, nice. Okay. Does that mean you have to wear a whole thing over your head and stuff?
No.
Oh, good.
We do make face makeup stuff.
Face makeup. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And what are you playing?
I'm Shere Khan, the tiger.
Are you on 4 feet?
I am not on 4 feet. No, we
lucky
walk.
You.
Yeah, we are not doing that.
Okay. Okay. I'm looking forward to the play. How many people are in it, would you say?
A lot.
36, I think.
What? Holy,
there were like 45 auditions.
And then
a bunch dropped.
That is fantastic. Are they mostly from Astoria, or are they from other parts?
Yeah, it's mostly Astoria.
Yeah, just transportation, etc. Okay, now this, is it opening? No, it opened last weekend.
It's opening night.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
7 o'clock.
Tonight, 7 o'clock, and then it is tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and Sunday at 2 o'clock.
No, it's
a matinee both days.
Yeah, Saturday.
Saturday is a matinee,
yes,
too.
Yeah.
Oh, see, it's a good thing I asked you. Okay, so Saturday and Sunday are at 2. Friday is at 7, and it's this weekend and next weekend.
Yep.
So you have 6 performances. Fantastic. And if I say to you, break a leg, are you going to go out and break your leg? Or do you know what that means?
I already did that.
What?
Junior Shanghaide. I kind of broke my ankle in the middle.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah, I better be careful with you because we usually say break a leg. Do you know that expression?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay. But it doesn't mean to break your leg, does it?
Yes. I mean, no. Okay. Yes, I understand what you're saying. Right. But no, it does not mean that you should break your leg.
That's great. Nick, what grade are you in?
I'm in ninth grade, so I started my freshman year.
Okay.
This year.
Oh, you're at the high school. And Lexi?
I'm a seventh grader.
Okay. All right. So you think you will be continuing with theater?
Yeah.
And what about in school? Is there a theater program there? Do you know?
At my school, there is, but they've done one play this year.
Okay.
So
you're at Astoria High School?
Yes, I am.
Oh, they've done some incredible theater there, but is Jenny Newton still doing stuff or not so much?
I have no clue.
Okay, well, you better find out because she's extraordinary.
Okay.
If you can work with Jenny, you're set for life. And Lexi, you still have a couple of years to go.
Yeah.
There's no theater program at the middle school?
No.
No. Okay. Well, it's a good thing we have Astor Street Opry Company, isn't it? It's a fantastic program starting with kids when they're 8 years old with Junior Shanghaide, is that right? And doing all kinds of productions. This is at the Astor Street Opry Playhouse, and it's on Bond Street and 162 West Bond off the top of my head. I hope that's right. 503-325-6104 if you want to call and get your tickets or just show up at the door 7 o'clock tonight and next Friday and 2 o'clock Saturday and Sunday. Obviously, get there half an hour or at least 15 minutes early so you can get your seats and your tickets and maybe some something to eat or drink. I don't think we throw popcorn at...
Not at
Rudyard Kipling.
Too many little kids.
Too many. Yeah, I'm sure. 36 people on stage. Thank you so much for coming in, and congratulations for being in the show.
Thank you, yeah. And you're very welcome.
Okay, great. Lexi and Nick Reibold in Astor Street Opry Company's Rudyard Kipling's The Jungle Book. This is their youth theater production. And do stay tuned because they do lots of stuff over there. Thanks. I have one more guest, actually two guests, one spot, and I'm going to put on their music. And some of you have heard it before. Well, you've probably heard the music before. You may or may not have heard this group. They're called Girl Haggard, G-E-R-L-E. You figure it out. Well, listen to the music and you won't have any problem. Thanks for being here, folks.
To town to buy a new slip, and Uncle John went fishing on a 3-day trip. So bring it on down to my house, honey. Ain't nobody home but me. Fred, if you bring it over here, and the preacher won't know, and the neighbor don't care, so bring it on down to my house, honey. Ain't nobody home but me. Guitar.
Around if you can play the fiddle.
By cracky, I can play a little.
Bring it on down to my house, honey. Ain't nobody home but me.
Oh my God. Is this too much fun or what? Before I bring on my guests, the girls Haggard. No. The How do we put this in English? I just want to tell you that the North County Recreation District Playhouse, the Curious Savage, the River Bend, is tonight and tomorrow at 7 o'clock. If you call me at 4 p.m., I might have some tickets for you. The Adrift has Hollis Peach, and the good news is they will be on Crossroads tomorrow, right here at KMUN. Sand Trap, 7 o'clock, has 2 a.m. Pacific. And as I said, the Dark Arts is sold out, but the Commodore Hotel presumably is having something happen tonight at 8:50 p.m. Not sure what it is. Check it out. Barn Community Playhouse, A Sting in the Tail, Comedy Thriller, Friday and Saturday, Warrenton Grade School, Clatsop County Dance Now, and don't forget Gala. If you're interested in the Pride Festival coming up in June, come on over to Gala from 6 to 8:30 tonight. This is your chance to sign up for and also get some good freebies and a fabulous performance. And while you're there, why don't you go a little early? That's at 6. Go early and do check out the Lightbox Gallery. It's fantastic. Two doors down. Tango tomorrow night at the AAMC. Terry Robb at the Peninsula Arts. Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum has Red and Ruby Ballads, 30s and 40s Swing Music. And the Confluence is at 2 o'clock. Cascadia Opera and North Coast Chorale, 7 o'clock at the Performing Arts Center. Ocean Park has Sea Stings. Of course, that's Bill and Janet Clark. Sweet Basil has the Basils has Bar K Buckaroos. And Hoffman Manzanita Writers Series. Don't forget Sunday at Carruthers for Dark Arts. Melville is at the Fort George that night. Sunday Afternoon Live, Duetto. Duets from musical theater, opera, classical, and popular music. That's Sunday at 2 o'clock. And Monday, Not My President, March for President's Day at Commercial and Noon. What else is happening tomorrow night at the Sou'Wester, one of our favorite venues, is my guests, Girl Haggard. That is so funny to say that, I must say. Hi, I've got... Now, I was going to ask you to pronounce your name.
Oh, yeah. My name's Tave Fache Drake, and I'm the lead singer for Girl Haggard Band.
Was that really your given name?
It's for real. It's my actual real name.
What country is it
from? It's Italian. Actually, Tave is short for Octavia.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, thank you.
But I couldn't tell from reading it.
Drake's my husband's last name, so we just put my old last name, Fache, in the middle name slot.
Of course. You wouldn't want to lose something when you
have... No, you can't.
That kind of, and Nikki Jardin, she must be French. Nikki the Garden.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Yep. How do you pronounce it, though?
It's Jardin, actually. Jardin. They've Americanized it, but it's Portuguese, actually.
Oh,
it used to
really?
It had an M on the end, Hardim.
Oh,
so if you want to go that route, that's
I like.
It.
Well, we've been talking about immigrants.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that yesterday was a day without immigrants and how important. And the fact that all of us are immigrants, hello.
Yes.
But
unless you're Native American.
Well, and they even said they came 10,000 years ago.
Well,
they
there
also
you go.
Everybody. But right. Yes, we have our and the Confluence is going to tell you more about the Native Americans in this area, especially on the Columbia. But Girl Haggard immigrated to this radio show because tomorrow night they are going to be at the Sou'Wester. And is this true, an 8-piece band?
Yep, we're an 8-piece. Well, there'll be 7 of us tomorrow, but yeah, we're a big band. And we range in age from mid-20s to mid-60s.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. It's wonderful.
It's a lot of fun.
It's obviously, you're all musicians. Mm. You are Tave. Is that right?
Yeah,
Tave?
That's correct. Yeah, Tave.
My other name is Tova. That's Tave Tova.
Get out of here.
You are the lead singer, but also you're the engineer and podcaster.
Yes, I am. I actually do engineering and podcasting at KBOO Radio, Community Radio 90.7 in Portland.
Our sister station.
There you go. I know. Go Community Radio.
KBOO actually birthed us, and then we became sisters. I don't know how that works.
Well, it's all in the family somehow.
Right, exactly. And Nikki, you're the drummer?
I'm the drummer. That's right.
So with that many people in the band and not always as much space, what kind of drums do you bring a whole snare? No.
I just have a small little, I have a snare drum and a kick drum, a couple of cymbals and a hi-hat. And you know, we're actually really amazingly good at fitting into tight spaces. We get along really well. We like each other. We don't mind being right up next to each other. So.
Fantastic. And do you caravan together, too? You don't all ride in one...
Well, we don't have a van. You know, maybe that's something we'll do later and we'll, you know, we'll be like Scooby-Doo or something like that. But right now we just travel in our own vehicle. So sometimes we'll buddy up. Nikki and I came up for this together.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Glad you came up today.
And we thank you so much for having us on the show. And the number of the other girls are coming up tomorrow. And then our bass player is coming up today as well.
So are you all located in Portland? Or?
Well, I'm in Portland. And we have a number of us that are in Portland. And then one is in Battleground, right? Washington.
Okay.
And then we have our bass player. She is from Sauvy Island.
Mm-hmm.
And Nikki.
I live out in Malala.
Yeah.
Which is out about an hour southeast of Portland.
Right, right.
Out there in the
sticks. But you come together to rehearse once in a while.
Yeah, so every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, so you really must like each other.
We do.
Yeah, we do.
Of course.
Yeah.
So how did this happen that eight women get together to play Merle Haggard songs? And songs that Merle Haggard sang. You know, you're the first guest who ever looked at the clock. It's clear to me that you are a cable programmer. Most guests have no idea that I have a clock that I have to be on. So thank you. So tell us, how did this happen?
Nikki, you tell the beginning story and I'll add in.
All right. So our founder, Maria Catherine Callahan, our lead guitar player, who will not be with us tonight, but she's actually doing some work in Nashville. Oh. Anyway, she actually had a dream that she was in an all-female Merle Haggard cover band called Girl Haggard, and it made her laugh so hard that she woke herself up. And she told me about it, and I said, oh my gosh, that's incredible. You have to put that band together.
I love this. This is an origin tale.
I want to be the drummer. And I'd never actually played drums before, but I decided that I was going to do it for this band. So that's the genesis of it. And then I have my friend Jennifer, the bass player. And so
Jennifer and I had been in a band in the past, and I had played bass and sang, and Jennifer was the drummer. And so Nikki's like, well, I'm going to be playing drums in Girl Haggard, but Jennifer's playing bass now. And then, and then Jennifer said, oh, we'll get Tave. And then Maria knew a gal from Muskogee originally.
So when you were in that other band, what kind of music did you sing?
It was sort of eclectic. It was all over the place, sort of eclectic rock, old 60s stuff, and also like a bit of performance art even in it. And I bring a certain amount of that kind of crazy theatricality
Absolutely.
To it.
I can tell.
You know, South Salem High School, go theater department.
Is that where you went to school?
I did,
great.
Quite a while back.
But you've been involved in music all this time?
I have, yeah. I came from a musical family. So my father was a singer and songwriter, and then my uncle is Dion from Dion and the Belmonts.
Get out of here.
No, for real.
Oh, my
and,
God.
And I've just always loved to sing. I never really, when I was younger, officially learned how to read music, but it was something that I always loved doing. And, I'm just delighted to be able to do it on a regular basis with this band.
And she's terrific, and we love her.
Oh, it's so
and
fun.
She just had a birthday
I just turned 50 yesterday.
That's right. Yeah, I remember the 16th. You did. Happy birthday.
Nuts. Thank you very much.
It's a good number.
Yeah.
You're still just a kid compared to some of us.
We're all young at heart. I still feel 25.
That's the music and the arts. Keep us that way.
It's going to be like a nice birthday party out at the Sou'wester. We really consider it our home away from home, and we thank Tondi and everybody up there for having us up. And it's going to be a great time. 8 to 10 free shows. So if you're staying there, you're in for a real treat because it's a lovely, wonderful, comforting place
to stay.
But even if you're not, they welcome people in
anybody's
for a community show.
You can drive up and stop in and check out the whole place. It's if you haven't been to Sou'wester, and you can find them online too. And they are in Seaview on 38th Street, I believe it is, and the ocean, basically.
Yeah, right.
It's very easy to find them. Mm-hmm. Well, I brought these guys, these girls, these G-E-R-L-E-S.
Yeah, I say that girl like Merle, but with a G.
Right.
Yeah.
Just because I think it's so delightful you're doing this. Maybe sometime you'll be back and you can come in. The
We'd
whole band
to.
Can come in.
We were actually talking with one of your past guests about playing at the Liberty, actually doing a big show up here sometime.
That would be fantastic. We'll
talk. Thanks for having us, Carol.
Okay.
Thank
girl
you. It was a treat.
Girl Haggard, my guests. Tave and Nikki, and they are going to be at Sou'wester tomorrow night. And now it's time for Left, Right, and Center. This is KMUNS Story in 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Stay alert.